Hey everybody, welcome back to the Curiosity Experiment. Glad you're tuning in with us to this episode. Episode seven. So thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for following. Thanks for checking us out on Instagram. If you have things you'd like for us to discuss, do not hesitate to message us and let us know.
Absolutely.
We'd love to know what's going on. So with that being said, Clay, what are we doing tonight?
So tonight we just have the Three Amigos, the originals. And what we're going to talk about tonight is politics and the church. So let me just go ahead and say from right off the bat, here's what I don't mean, right? Like, this is not just a time for us to share our own political viewpoints on. Let's talk about immigration. You know, like, we're not doing that. What we're talking about is
tonight's the presidential debate,
January 6th. How do y'all feel about
Oh,
no. What we're going to talk about tonight is politics and how it influences the church. In regards to that, like how it does. So just to get right into it, the first question, how do you think politics influences the church?
Too much. Thanks for coming. Guys, God bless. Too much, Bob.
Well, you got it.
All right, look. I think that over the last, my lifetime, we could even talk about some of the things we've already talked about on the show. I mean, there's a ton of factors that go into this, but social media, the internet, fake news, real news, all of this is contributed to the idea that I feel like that a lot of people and a lot of churches reflect a political party more than they reflect scripture. So I don't think, just like when we had our conversation about the Southern Baptist Convention, like, our job on this podcast is not to bash, but our job is to call people and to shepherd people into
have a real conversation.
And I just feel like, here's my case in point, and you know, it's a Facebook status, whatever. This is what I feel. This is really what I feel. Scripture tells us to pray for those in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. The Bible also says that all leadership positions are put in place by God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say the ones that we voted for are the ones that are good or the ones that are bad. It says that all authority figures are put in place by God. Okay, so in 2016, what we saw was from 2016 to 2019, Trump was elected in 2016, and all the way through 2019 of November, we saw primarily in Southern Baptist churches, hashtag pray for my president, pray for the president, pray for the president. And what happened was, I don't know if the Holy Spirit just showed me, like, made me see this, or if I just noticed, I just picked it up. But as soon as the election happened in 2019 and Biden won, all of those people were no. Not that they went quiet. It wasn't pray for our president. It was pray for our country. Which is, by the way, a noble thing. We should pray for our country. But how do you switch from pray for the president? Pray, it's because you voted for one in 2016, and then in 2019, the guy you voted for didn't win, and all of a sudden it switched, and now you're not going to pray for the president. You're going to pray for the country. And so, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, scripture didn't change in 2019. Nor did it change in 2008 or in 2012. It says to pray for leaders. But so I saw just what I saw. 2016, for 3.5 years, almost 4 years, hashtag pray for the president. Pray for my president. And in 2019, it totally shifted, and it was the church then saying pray for the country, because it's all going to heck in a handbasket. Well, pray for the country.
To me, though, that's part of the illustration.
Might have to edit some of that out.
And maybe this is triggery and people get mad at what I'm about to say, but like,
I mean
both ends of the political spectrum are equally ridiculous. For example, when Trump was elected in 2016, and you had, like, Democrats very upset, and they're going to counselors and they're having a big council and stuff. I remember hearing Republicans talking about, well, that's just stupid, you know. And then Biden is elected and we storm the Capitol. So it's just really interesting that you can go to either ends of the political spectrum. And I just think that a lot of what people miss is again, the equality of ridiculousness on both
ends. Well, and again, and I've said this before in different episodes, when I say reflect Scripture and not just reflect a political party, churches in general have now begun to reflect culture, and the fact that now even churches have to be all this way or all this way. Like, it has to either be 100% conservative everything, or it has to be 100% liberal the other side of it. And I'm like, I don't know if church is a place for
polarizing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he wanted unity, and like that doesn't bring unity at all. Like, especially, so it's like, so the church doesn't look like, I feel like, what Acts chapter 2 looks like. Okay, it doesn't mirror that, the first picture of the church. Instead, it just is a lot like culture. We just throw Bible verses at people instead of vulgarities. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we're attacking people with Scripture to prove a political point, and we're not using Scripture to uplift and encourage. And I really think that Scripture is used for us as a mirror, not for us as a magnifying glass on somebody else's life. That's just how I look at it. So that also is an issue when you talk about politics and church.
Do you think that politics should influence the church at all?
Q is just like I'm not. Q's like, I can just see it. Like, this is like one of the, usually when Q, usually you're not the uncomfortable one. I am, and it feels good to be in this seat right now. Like,
that's not happening. I mean, look, I think our primary loyalty as believers is to the kingdom of God.
Should go without saying.
Should go without saying. But
here we are having to say it.
But that's gonna get me some heat. That's probably one of the things I said most that would get me some heat. Because in that means that our commitment to our country is secondary to that. Mm. And look, I'm happy that I'm here. But if God would have placed me somewhere else, it doesn't change the mission. Yep. Mm. It doesn't change who I'm supposed to serve, or the kingdom. It doesn't change the kingdom values that I'm supposed to pertain to. It may make them harder to like live out. It may make some of them easier, actually, to live out. I don't know. But I feel like we've muddled the water. Because we've said America, and I'm not saying it's not true, we've said America is birthed out of belief in God, that we're a Christian nation. We've heard that terminology used quite a bit. But the Christian nation of the United States of America does not take the place of the kingdom of God.
Which
don't think it does.
We have no problem communicating. Doing marriage God's way is the best way to do it. Like, we have no issues saying that. So I think what happens is, for communicators like ourselves, is we don't ever want to communicate this idea that when we say the kingdom of God should be first, we're not at all communicating that we're not thankful to live here, that we don't live in an awesome place with awesome opportunity. But the fact is, if I put God first in every aspect of my life, whether it's my marriage, how I parent, how I do my finances, even how I vote, how I participate in this nationalism idea, if I put God first, then I in turn make this nation a better place. It doesn't say if I vote with a particular party. Those are preferential interpretations, how we feed the poor, how we fund the government. Like, put God first, And you can still be thankful that you live here and we live in a free nation and it's awesome. And none of us are ready to like renounce our citizenship and move to Canada. Like, I don't want that. I love it here. I'm so thankful that
Canada's
I'm here.
Canada's very cold.
Yes, and you wouldn't have shoes on. And so it would just be awful. And so
I just to retract back to that for a second. If it was societally acceptable, I wouldn't wear shoes.
Okay.
I would. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm
lost your track of thought there.
Yeah. Next question.
Yeah. All right. So in that same vein, what level of politics do you think affects the church the most? So like you got national, state, and then local. Do you think?
I don't think the local has hardly any. It's to me, it's all state and above.
Yeah. I see. I guess I'm opposite. I think. Well, maybe not how it affects, but I think the only government I really find myself invested in on any level is local.
Because, yeah, but that's you personally. Yeah, that's like he's talking about the effect of the church. You know, yeah. Like.
Well, I mean, it's all right if you want to continue that.
Like, yeah, well, I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that we made a commitment when we started LifePoint that we would not talk about politics from the stage. Now, we're flirting with the idea right now because Andy Stanley has done a series recently on politics. And but, I mean, it's called that, but he's doing a little.
What's it called?
I think it's called Politics. Isn't it called?
No. Well, his new book. It's his new book.
Something political or.
hold on. Well, here's the part of me is like Andy Stanley saying stuff that a lot of pastors would like to somehow communicate. But it's just like we feel like it might ostracize or even because here's the deal. I also don't want to say anything that creates division. No. You know what I'm saying? In defense or against anything. Like it's
we have intentionally from the beginning said we're not talking about politics at LifePoint. And we haven't. And we don't we don't fly any flags at LifePoint. That was a very
strategic.
Yeah, we decided that. We believe everything that wanted to happen there was wanted to be about the kingdom of God, period. Mm-hmm. And part of that for me, and I believe this strongly, in the American church, politics has become one of the greatest distractions that exist today.
Mm-hmm.
It has taken people who could be amazing men and women in the kingdom and has made them marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
Because
alienated them.
Yeah, because they've connected with one party or another. And in that, they felt like they had to hate one party or another. And so there was no way for them, even if they had some common ground they were passionate about as believers, they'll never pursue that together.
Yeah, y'all know who Ray Comfort is. Don't you? You don't know Ray Comfort?
Not In It to Win It, by the way, is Andy Stanley's new book.
Ray Comfort, he just evangelizes in like San Francisco, goes down boardwalks, has these incredible conversations, people stuff.
Oh, I think I may have seen some of these videos.
He's pretty old.
Yeah, like,
I mean he's been around for a while. But
does he have a accent?
Yes.
Yeah, I like his accent. Yeah.
So it wasn't him; it was one of his team. I remember watching this video of they went to a Trump rally, and were evangelizing, and this guy was talking to this girl about Jesus, and he did it in a very masterful way. I mean, I'm not going to do it justice, but like he kind of explained to her what you were just explaining, and to see this woman who she so tied her Christianity to her status as a Republican that she had no idea that she really didn't even know who Jesus was, and he shares the gospel to her in such a way like you did, and to watch this woman like holding Trump flag and everything like just crumble and break, and like I've never heard it like that.
Well, what's happened is I lived out west for a while, and I had a lot of really strong Christians who found themselves more tied to the Democratic Party than they did to the Republican Party. And what we've done is we've taken one, I would even say, biblical kingdom principle. And if it's something we feel real strongly about, and whatever party ascribes to the way that we think it should be done, we think now, well, they're the best Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, for Republicans, that would be abortion.
We tie, our religion to ideology.
Right. So like, I think a kingdom principle would be that life is precious. I think mm-hmm. that would be a kingdom principle, you know, that we should try to protect life. And so I'm not for abortion. I'm against abortion. But I think some people who would do that was like, well, then the Republicans are the only way. Mm. Well, I have a lot of really great Christian friends who also say that I think a kingdom principle is how we take care of the poor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they would say the Democrat Party cares way more about that than the Republican Party. So if that's a kingdom principle, then I've got to say if I'm going to be Christian, I need to be connected with them. Yeah. That's all distraction.
Yeah,
none of that. Yeah. You don't have to. We're not told in the kingdom that we have to now find somebody else to describe. We just get to be the kingdom.
Which, by the way, is my biggest beef with this whole topic. If I cast a vote in a particular party, because I cast that vote, then that means I've adhered to what God's word said. When God's word is telling us to do that, he wants us individually to take care of orphans and widows. He didn't say cast a vote to which political party you feel like is going to do that best. And so what happens is we don't take any personal responsibility for what God's word did. And what's going to happen is we're going to get to judgment and we're going to tell God, I voted this way. And he's going to go, that's not what I wanted. I wanted you to be my hands. I wanted you to be my feet.
I think that's a fantastic point.
And to the point, that's why I think it's one of the greatest distractions.
Yes.
Because we can get so worked up, put so much energy, so much thought, so much time researching things, to where, like, honestly, there's so many people in this community that just needs help.
Yeah.
Just
I think a large part of that is because, mm-hmm. like, as human beings, we don't want to see bad things. Like, I remember, and I'm not hating on my mom here. I love her to death. But, like, I remember when I
shout
was a
out,
kid,
Mom.
Like, when those cancer commercials would come on, mm-hmm. like St. Jude and stuff, she'd be like, just turn it. I can't watch that. Because it'd make her cry, you know?
Right, yeah.
But I think that is a good metaphor for the way we react sometimes. Like, if we just ignore poverty, if we ignore the problems and the hurt in our community,
I cast my vote, it must not be there. Or I cast my vote, and they're taking care of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I cast my vote. And so that and my tax dollars. Yeah. All right, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, I don't want to add anything to Scripture. Like, I feel like I've said that a ton lately. But, like, you know, they asked Jesus this somewhat political question, and they were like, "Hey, since we're Christian, basically, do we pay our tax? Yeah. Like, And Jesus' response was, "Give to Caesar what Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." And, like, I almost just feel like God's like, "Why are you stressed about that question? Do what you're supposed to do: pay your taxes and give to God." Like,
I'm stealing this, it's not mine, but one of the coolest explanations I've ever heard of that is what Jesus says is, he says, whose face is on that coin?
Yes.
Whose image is on that coin? He says, well, it's Caesar's. He says, well, okay, we'll give it to Caesar and then give to God what is God's. And so the underlying question there that Jesus is asking, that he never really asks, is whose image is on you?
Ooh.
Therefore, give that to God.
Mm. Hands and feet.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to do it. Like, I want you to do it.
Yeah.
That's really good. I'm glad I brought that up for you to give me that tidbit. That's really good.
So, let me ask you this question. Should church members be heavily political? Like, is that is that a question we should answer, or
do we?
I think it'd be better to say, should Christians be heavily political?
Yeah.
I think that's a better
question. That's probably correct. Should Christians be heavily political?
I don't think I don't think it should become a distraction. And I think that's
something. Is it possible to do it without it being a distraction?
To become political.
It depends.
I'm not going to say it's not a calling. Because there may be some people who, like, are following the Lord, and that's a calling they put on their life. I don't want to, like, say that's not a calling.
Right.
You know, but like, take Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, he was political in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was a very strong calling he was trying to accomplish, that, And we talk about, I mean, I know he had mistakes.
He had to be political in order to end what he wanted to end. Like so it was a means to the end. Like, he had to be political in order to end the suffering of an entire group of people. I think the danger, and this is not a scapegoat because it's a biblical principle, but like idols. I mean, that's one of the first commandments is, you will have no other gods before me. And I think for a lot of people, if they're really honest, politics or a political party has become an idol. And so an idol is just anything, is just anything that we put above God. And it's like Q was saying earlier, like, it's all we think about. It's all we talk about. It's where a large portion of my resources go. Like, and so if we examine our life, and by the way, some people do this with baseball. Some people do this with hobbies or video games, like we talked about in one episode. Like, an idol can be anything, but if we're not careful, we can begin to move things ahead of God. And when we put things ahead of God, we begin to reflect whatever it is number one on our list, you know? So and that's why, and God, when he gave that commandment, he knew that when we would put something above him, we would begin to reflect that instead of him. That's why he's saying, look, you got to put me first. Because if you put me first, all the other stuff, you can filter things better instead of filtering through whatever's first.
And too, I think, like, not to take away from the spirituality of it, but I mean, God's commands are, like, heavily practical, too. Like, God knows us better than we know us, you know? And so God knows that if we do that, then we will be miserable.
And yeah, because he's doing it out of love. Like, God is love. So it's, like, not just this set of rules because he doesn't want us to have fun. It's like, oh, don't do this. Because if you do this, like, it's just not going to work out well for you. Like, you're not going to enjoy what your life will be.
I think we have to evaluate, too, in these moments. Like, is our political ties, are they selfish? Are they prideful? Are we wanting to hitch ourselves to the winner? Are we wanting to boost some kind of, you know, confidence within ourselves, dealing with our own insecurities?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you, like, from empires, for as long as we know, I mean, money has been at the root of everything. And I can almost promise you there's going to be a change in the White House, simply because of how things economically are going right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and then
we talk about all these values you have, but at the end of the day, when like somebody's gas is five bucks a gallon, and they're like, "Oh no, we're changing this."
Yeah,
like, I ain't spending this money on this. Get somebody else in there. Let's go buy, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't mention him because he's Joe Rogan. But you ever heard Joe Rogan's explanation as to why? Because Joe Rogan likes, like, it's funny how we have a Democratic president and then a Republican president and then a Democratic president. And he's like, it's because we're finding one guy to try to solve all of our problems. He's like, and then we realize that that's pretty stupid. So we just move on to the next guy that's in the exact opposite direction.
And the fact that that so much of politics is motivated by money, again, you just want to talk kingdom. That's not a motivator in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So like, it automatically has significant issues with being, with like lining up and catching traction with kingdom work, because it's so entangled in the financial undertones. I mean, you hear about it, and I don't know how much of it's real, because I don't like talking about this, because I don't get involved. I don't ascribe myself to political party. I don't tie myself to any one candidate. I'm going to vote who I think might be the best. I don't read anything on Facebook. I don't hear anything. I don't listen to news. I don't watch C-SPAN. I don't watch any of that. So for me to talk about, I have a place of ignorance. But I just think that from what I hear, like, when a bill is being passed, there's so much money that people are – what are those groups called that just
– Lobbyists.
Lobbyists. So, like, that's a whole gig.
A whole thing.
Yeah.
To get money for things. And when something's ran
– an entire career.
Yeah. So when something's ran by this pursuit – to influence people to give you money, that's just a total opposite thing of the kingdom. It's like nothing to do with what the kingdom principles are.
Well, and if we want to talk about foundation, okay. Founding fathers, most were Christian nation, all that. Which, by the way, history, Yeah, I get it. Some of that's been puffed up a little bit to prove some points, but for the most part,
it's beside the point of what you're.
But I wonder if we just want to be political, like just political for just a second, like strictly political. I wonder if we want to take the very first president, George Washington, what would George Washington look at our government right now and how he would view it? This is a man that literally could have been president until he died. He could have been, because George Washington was so loved that he could have been, and he said, nope, 2 terms.
He walks into an assembly and they're all cheering him, ready to put the crown on him.
Yeah, and he said.
And he rips every single one of them.
Yeah, he like, says.
This is not what we fought
He for. Said, this was literally what we fought the revolution for. So what we've done.
And he dropped the mic, even though it wasn't it,
and this is to Q's point politically, or financially. What we've created is a system where people go into politics for financial reasons, because once they're reelected, especially at the national level, once they're reelected, I think twice, then they have certain financial benefits that they're locked into for the rest of their life. And well, so we've created this money system that we've almost created this entire new cast of individuals. And is it really governed by, I mean, yes, we have a vote, but
even in that, like, it is literally impossible to be a politician if you don't have much money.
Yeah, like the poor man's
have to be a gazillionaire.
But it's not just money. The other thing is you have all these young college students wanting to go intern there because it's about status.
Yeah.
And again, pursuit of status is not kingdom principle. It is the opposite.
If you want to achieve a certain level, to leverage that level for the kingdom of God, then that's exactly what Paul is constantly talking about when he's like, I want to go to Rome. And because Paul knew the center of everything was Rome. Yeah. And he was thinking, if I can get to Rome and I can save the people that are in Rome, we can change the whole world, man. And that's what's so sad. That's what's so sad about this idea of politics and church is we're sacrificing eternity for just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Well, think about this too, right? So many scholars and theologians, they theorize this. So, like, if you look at when Paul goes to Jerusalem for the last time and he ends up getting arrested, many scholars and theologians believe he did that intentionally.
Intentionally. Because
to go to Rome.
By the way, he would have gotten a pass. He didn't. He deferred the case to Caesar. Like, he said, I want to go. And the guy in Jerusalem was like, we can pretty much just let you go now. And he was like, no, I'll go.
Well,
I'll go
to Rome. And the whole point is exactly what you're saying, is that is the exact opposite of the way our system works now.
Yes.
It's like, he's literally want to sacrifice himself for the purpose of elevating the kingdom. And so he it's a selfless act, you know?
Yeah, I think to Q's point, the danger is putting everybody in a box and saying, if you're political, we're not doing that. No. Because there are people that are called to walk into that. Because here's the deal. There needs to be godly, kingdom-focused people in politics.
Yes.
There needs to – like, which, by the way, which is why the Bible says to pray for leaders. And he's pray for their salvation so that you can see actual change – take place. And so it's like, not everybody that's in politics and who claims to be a believer, we're not throwing them aside at all. Yeah. Like, that God wants people of influence and of godly character in high places so that the gospel can be shared.
Look, we have this couple in our church that he is a high ranking, like the main assistant to a U.S. Senator. And he happens to live around here. And him and his family are so cool, so dynamic. I mean, he feels like that's his call to work with this guy and help this guy be successful and accomplish some things. But at the same time, they like, when they lived in Washington, they did that whole, what was that thing called where you could come sleep on somebody's couch that got hot for a minute?
Oh, like not Airbnb, but like.
It's called like couchsurfing.com or something.
Yeah. It's like Airbnb. It's basically a couch.
But they would do that. I mean, this is a high level guy, and they would have people from all around the world that would come in D.C. and they'd stay on their couch just so they could share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's
there's exceptions.
Yeah,
there's exceptions.
And it's so funny. Like, I love personally Steve Marshall. I don't agree with everything that he puts out. I'm on his email list, and sometimes when I don't agree with it, I know nobody gets it. I just email him back, like, well, I don't really care how you feel about Donald Trump about that. I think you're pretty cool. And
I like that. I love you. Yeah.
But I don't. I know he doesn't get it, but you know, because it's some bot doing it or some guy that's in some office.
You enjoy it though.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It
makes you feel better.
But you know what I do love and so much about Steve personally is, when I dislocated my ankle, there was a short list of people who actually personally called me and checked on me. Steve Marshall was one of them. You know,
right.
He didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Right.
But there's care and concern, and so, but you have to be able. You have to be able. And this is why I hate politics. This is the exact reason why I hate politics.
This is when he rolled his eyes when we decided on this topic.
This is it. Because we throw people away.
I throw them away.
And that bothers me because I think at the end of the day, the most unkingdom thing we do is throw people away.
Because we put them in a box, a man-made box.
If they say one thing we don't agree with or doesn't align with our beliefs, they're the enemy, and we don't have nothing to do with them. But why can't we hang out with people who are from a different political viewpoint or belief than us or whatever and enjoy time with them and just be with them?
Because Facebook told us not to.
Yeah.
It just that's the thing that grinds at me is why we have to throw people away.
Yeah.
Why do we have to why does somebody comes into a store with an Obama shirt or with a Trump shirt that all of a sudden the Red Sea parts and people go to either side of the it just blows me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I had the opportunity to live in a different part of the country, and so I met people who ascribed to different political parties. They were all just such amazing people. And I think there's people who are like strong Trump supporters who are amazing human beings. I think there are people who are strong Biden supporters who are amazing human beings. I don't want to throw them away.
So do you think that the current political arena of our country, of our culture, it is unique to our time? Or do you think that what we're seeing with politics is kind of the same? Like, because we know that human behavior is cyclical, right? Like, it just
when there's nothing new under the sun.
Correct. So, here's the reason why I'm saying, because it's really interesting to me, because you know I've met so many young people who are just like, I hate politics. It's apolitical, and yet it seems like we live in a time right now that is more political than I have ever lived in.
Is it more political or because of social media we know about it? We know
you got like 2016, which was a darn circus show.
Here's what I remember, and I wish, please, if you listen to this, let's get back to this day and time. I remember in the second grade, I don't know if it was a local election, state election, I don't remember what it was. Somebody asked my teacher, Miss Long, who she voted for. And the response was quick. And to the point, it is disrespectful to ask someone who they vote for. That's a private decision that people make. But now, I do think that might be a little different, is because of Facebook, you have to, which, dear Facebook users, 97% of your friends are already voting like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you blasting everything out is not hitting the target audience that you think it's hitting, because everybody already thinks like you and votes like you, because that's just how it's set up. But
I mean, you know, it's sad though, because like if somebody asked me who you voted for, I don't think I would have any issue telling them who I voted for. I would just, but the problem is that the reason we don't want to say that is because, again, we're afraid people are going to throw us away. Like, if we're not voting how they think we're going to vote, are they going to like, oh, why did you vote that? You're less than. Or
it's some big conflict, and we just don't have the energy to do that. Yeah.
But I think the reason, and I think it's interesting you use the terminology arena, because I would normally use climate, but it does feel like an arena. But I think what's got us where we're at now is the natural evolution of when man creates systems. Instead of trying to follow the systems God created for us. I mean, this is a natural evolution we've experienced, where the government's gotten bigger It takes more money. More people want a piece of it. This has happened in nations and countries time and time again. And this is not a new thing. We're not content. There's no contentment in us.
Yeah.
You know, and so because of that, it won't stop until it stops. You know, until Jesus comes back or the United States ain't no more. I mean, Rome just wanted to keep getting bigger and bigger and have more money and do more things. And then one day, Rome was not Rome anymore. You know, it was taken over by somebody else. So I think it's a natural progression for us. I just need to say this. I love living in America. I love the amount of,
absolutely,
the amount of freedom it gives my kids. I love the fact that I get to go vote. I love that I get to read about different people who are running for things and make an informed decision about who I think I should vote for. But if my person doesn't win, like, I'm just kind of go, okay, God, and then you had something different than what I expected, because, so it's going to move right on.
Because ultimately, God wins in the end.
That's right.
You know, and I just don't think – that's what I keep going back to lately, just personally, is, you know, me and the Holy Spirit were having a conversation one day. We're just talking about – I'm just asking – I like to ask questions, you know, curiosity, you know. And finally, I just – I just feel like the Holy Spirit was like, Derek, that's not going to be in heaven. It's not going to be there. So why are you stressed and worried and almost to your wit's end about something that literally is going to die when you die? Because it's not going to be in heaven.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
And so it's like, if it's not going to be in heaven, and actually I communicated this in a sermon about the political arena. When we get to heaven, I'm not going to walk through the pearly gates and go, Democrats are here. None of that will be there. Uh-huh. And so we put conflict where conflict has no business being if we're kingdom-minded and we're eternity-focused. You know, Paul says, your citizenship ain't here. And so it's like, yes, I get to participate. Yes, I get to vote. This ultimately is not my home. This is not where I'm going to spend forever. Yeah. And so if it's not going to be in heaven, then I'm just not going to worry with the negative aspects of it in my own personal life. Like, because it's temporary.
Yeah. Let me just say this, by the way. If you listen to this episode, again, this is a hard one for me, but I want us all to live in a world where it doesn't matter. Like, you can have some political beliefs. You can have some thoughts on how things should be done. And that can be completely opposite from somebody. But yet you can still sit down, have a cup of coffee, talk about your life, talk about your kids, talk about your wife, really still love each other, really care about each other.
Put the rocks down.
Yeah.
I mean, put the rocks down.
That's what this is about. And the reason that we talk about this is because I think we all hope that that's a place our churches would be.
Yeah.
Where you could come in and not have to all be like robots. Be human beings trying to figure things out and find other people who love you, no matter if you agree on every single situation or not. I think that's what was beautiful about the disciples. I think it was beautiful about the early church. They were so enthralled by the mission of Jesus that everything else lost its luster. We've been so captivated by the ideas of politics that somehow that has begun to shine brighter than the mission of Jesus. And I'm just hoping we can get back to where the mission of Jesus would shine bright.
Yeah.
That being said, man, we'd love to have your comments, or you're not going to offend us, and you can disagree with us completely, and we're going to love you.
That's right.
I mean, that's kind of, we're trying to live that out, so we're not going to be mad. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to hate you for whoever you voted for. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, God's called me to love you like he loved me, so, and all of us to love each other as Christ has loved us. So we're going to try our best to do that. Really appreciate you hanging with us and listening in, watching if you are. And, man, don't forget to leave some comments, leave some suggestions on things we can continue to talk about.
Absolutely.
If you're a cool guest, you know, message us. If you're not cool, don't message us. We only have cool guests on here. Now, we'll still have coffee with you.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
You know, We've got to have cool people on the show. I mean, look at us, right? That's
right. Look at us.
Yeah. All right. I'll reluctantly have shoes on.
Love you guys. See you next time.
Adios.
Tweet that, you idiot.